God, we lift our voice today, for you alone are worthy. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We owe our whole life, our whole being to you. We present ourselves to you this day, a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves to you today, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you strengthen and edify us, that we can go forth and serve you and bring glory and honor to your name. Use this time as we open our heart to you to fill us up, Lord God, and bring an impartation to our spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We can be seated. I'm really excited to share what I have today. Of course, I think I always am, but anyway, in particular, word stirred in me this week. And I want to open up here in Psalm 97. Psalm 97, begin verse 1, says, "The Lord reigns, that the earth rejoice, that the multitude of the isles be glad." Now there's a song, you know, we sing that is from there. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the earth rejoice, the earth rejoice. That's a good one. That's scripture. "Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and the people see his glory." So you want to begin here, but I want to bring to your remembrance, it's probably been at least 2 months now, maybe going on three, where I felt I had a word from the Lord that there were storm clouds gathering, and that there's some negative things are going to be happening, released, call it what you will, an attack of the enemy that's going to really be happening this year. And I was sharing the word with you for some time relative to that. In particular, we were looking at Luke chapter 8, where Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. He was asleep. A storm kicked up, and these professional fishermen were so scared, so you know it's bad, that they woke him up, "Master, Master, save us." They didn't have any hope. Now, usually, like a fisherman, they know how to navigate and work around that stuff, but this was like hopeless. We're going to die. And I wanted to, you know, I've been pointing out, if you're ever in a situation, there's an attack against you, you can call out on the name of the Lord, and he'll deliver you out. But he goes on, as he stills the storm, he says, "Where's your faith?" He wants us not to just be thinking of ourselves relative to storms. Well, how am I going to get out of this? But rather to be moved by the love of God in faith to bring deliverance for the people around us that are in fear. And that's really important, because faith works by love. If we just think about ourselves, we won't even really be in a place of faith to deal with it. But to really be in faith, you can't separate that from walking in love. So he says, "Where is your faith?" Or, I want you to be taking authority over storms in somebody else's life. So that being said, he says, "Clouds and darkness around about him." Jesus was not fretting in that boat. He was laying there asleep. He didn't say, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" But rather, the clouds gathered. But it says here that righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Now, his throne would speak to his place of authority as our Lord. And he's directing us. He's the one who's delivering us. He's the one who's protecting and sustaining all of those things. That's who he is. And righteousness here is not speaking of right standing, but rather right ways. Now, the word righteousness in the Bible can mean one of two things, either the right ways of God or a right standing. You don't earn right standing. That's a gift to us. He gives us a gift of righteousness, but then he wants us to learn his ways and walk in them, whereby the blessing of God flows unhindered. You turn those other lights on, please, somebody. I don't like sitting in the dark preaching the word. I'm a man of the light. Amen. But he says here, the place, from in his place of authority, there is the existence and dwelling of God's way, and the word judgment here, mishpat in the Hebrew, can have a variety of meanings. Now, when we hear that word, we tend to think like, oh, punishment. That's what you tend to think. But there's actually a variety of meanings depending on the context where it's used. And a judgment here is speaking of the plan of God accompanied with a decision. Now, when you're facing an unknown situation, you need to know, what do I do? How do I walk through this? What's the plan or the course of action? And we need to be decisive and say, yes, this is what I'm going to do. If you're wavering, unbelief, James says, you're not going to receive anything. So within the presence of God, within his place as king, as authority, the authority of our life, he commands us from his place as king and Lord. Within that, he's going to show us the way and help us make the right choice or right decision based on the plan that he would have to take us on through and reveal himself. So that's what that's saying. So he says, then a fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. So you have a situation, the clouds of the darkness are around, but we can rest in knowing that the Lord reigns. He is king. He is ruler of all. He knows what to do. He has a plan for us, and he will instruct us on the decision to make. Because you can't just be wishy-washy. There are decisions. I'm going to stand. Or whatever it is that you're to do, you're going to do that. There's a decision which brings a commitment to it. So, a fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. And as song goes on, the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. That's a good praise song. Well, the Lord will have darkness around him, but he is not fretting. He knows that he is the Almighty. His power is more than enough. He knows what we would need to be doing with that situation. Now, through the Bible, you can see times issues came up like this, like the children of Israel fleeing from Pharaoh, and they come up, and here's a river, and back there's an army, and they got some trouble. But he says, lift up your rod, Moses, split that Red Sea. Yes. And hey, it's a done deal then. God, he knew what his way was and his plan, and then he instructed Moses what to do. Moses did it, and in the faithfulness of God, the life and power of God is released to take care of the situation. So there are many, many examples through the Bible of this. Now, in building on this thought, I want to go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Some interesting verses coming up here. We'll start at verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. You're going to pass it on. Pass it on to your children. Pass it on to your grandchildren. Pass it on to extended family members, pass it on. We continue to make known and declare how God was faithful to His word. Now remember, He, within His presence and His authority, there is righteousness and judgment. And His judgments are His declarations for us, His plan, His instruction. In that we see the faithfulness of God, because as we respond to Him, the life and power of God is released, and it, forever. It doesn't change. His mercies, the loving kindness of God's forever. It continues on. And God doesn't run a sale and run out. There's plenty there. There's more than enough. He's the God of more than enough. You know, when we tithe, I like to declare, Lord, You are Jehovah Jireh, provider, and You're El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. You're the God of more than enough for us. So whenever you think of your need, He's more than enough. It's like having blank checks at a bank, you know. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt Thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with My chosen, I've sworn unto David. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up Thy throne to all generations. Selah. The heavens shall praise Thy wonders, O Lord, and Thy faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. Saints need to be praising His wonders and His faithfulness. For who in the heaven can be compared to You, Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? Well, the answer is no one. We have a song, there is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. These verses, there's so many songs that are commonly sung or have been over the years, or come right out from here. God is greatly to be feared in an assembly of the saints, or to be reverenced, to be respected, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Now check this out. You rule the raging of the sea. When the waves are arrived, Thou stillest them. I believe Jesus knew that verse. I believe He knew this psalm. Because when He was awakened, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're in a deep sleep, somebody wakes you up and says, what's going on? What? What? What day is it? What time is it? Jesus was woke out of a deep sleep. Master, Master, save us! And immediately, the word comes out from Him. Peace, be still. He rebukes a storm. He commands it to stop. And it's right from this verse. He rules the raging sea. So if the storm clouds are round about, and they're kicking up the waves around you, or the waters, we need to be speaking to them, because we have access to the Almighty God, who is greater than all. And that's what's brought out in this preceding verses. He's so great. What can be compared to Him? He is the Almighty. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that's slain. Thou hast scattered Thine enemies with Thy strong arm. The heavens are Yours. The earth's Yours. For as the world, the fullness thereof, Thou hast founded them. The north and the south, that Thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon, they shall rejoice in Thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Now, as we enter into prayer, Jesus teaching the disciples said, okay, He's going to teach them, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, or I acknowledge Your names, authority, character, and power. I acknowledge who You are. That's always a beginning point, because your faith is stirred out of the revelation of who You know Him to be. And as we continue to speak those things and sing those things, you're ministering that deeper into your own spirit. you know, we need to watch what we say because you minister grace to the hearer. Well, you hear everything you say. If you're speaking evil, unbelief, stop complaining, well, things always go bad for me. Well, that's no wonder why they do. You're speaking that forth. But we want to declare who he is, because any prayer of faith to follow, all the prayer for the release of the kingdom of God is predicated upon who he is. So it says, your mighty arm, a mighty arm, strong as your hand and high as your right hand. Now notice here, this pops up again. Justice, it's the same word in the Hebrew translated righteousness, tzedek. Justice or righteousness and judgment are the habitation of your throne. Now this is important because we realize, again, God's way to walk, the plan he would have, and the decision we should make and decree. Because judgments can refer to decrees as well. You decree a thing. You begin to speak your faith to it. That's existent within the presence and authority of God or his throne. The commands of God come from his throne, his place of authority. So within that, with him being our king, with him being our Lord, we know that concerning the darkness, he knows what to do, because you don't just mimic what someone else did. Through the Bible, in each situation, like if there would be specific instructions to each situation, and weren't all the same. You know, I've said before, sometimes he'll say fight, sometimes flee, sometimes stand. It's not for us to say, well, I'm just going to do this and God will do that. No, we want to hear what he's saying to do and do that. He has the plan. He has the judgment on the situation. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face, his face. The word face is also translated countenance down in verse 15. When the Bible speaks of a countenance, that is seen in someone's face. You don't know someone's countenance by looking at the back of their head or how they're walking or what have you. No, you see it in their face. You see whether it's joy or sorrow, whether it's anger, whatever it might be. You see that in someone's face. Now, your words express what's in you, but your face talks even louder in your words sometimes. You can be around someone and you know something's wrong and you ask them about it and they say, there's nothing wrong. No, I didn't say that, nothing wrong. But no, your face told me. Or just your spirit, what comes out from your spirit. And when you know someone really well, like my wife and I are this way, you could walk in the door, we immediately know. Something's wrong, something's good, whatever. We immediately know. And we're inclined to want to pester each other. We find out if something's wrong, how do we stand together if you don't tell me? You know, so we'll just pride. Sometimes people don't want to talk about things. You know, sometimes they need to be made to. Because as long as you're just bottling up, holding. Now, sometimes you don't talk because you haven't processed it yet. Okay, that's a little different. But you do need to be able to talk about some. Sometimes the processing's even hearing yourself talk about it. So in a marriage, it's really healthy. You have that type of thing there. We can just freely talk about whatever, you know, whatever you're thinking or feeling or what have you. So mercy and truth will go before the presence of God, or as he looks at the situation. Brother Allen was making mention of this morning. God looks at everything through the eyes of love. Yes. Right? It's one of the main points you're making. Here it is. There it is again. He has, we're saying here that mercy and truth go before his face. When he's looking at the situation, he's looking first to the eyes of his covenant love, loving kindness, tender mercies. He's looking that way. How do I help you? You know, when you begin to look that way, you think, how do I help somebody? How can I bless them? I know when my sons were young, there's times I would bless them to reward obedience. And there's times I would bless them when they weren't doing anything. Just that they knew it wasn't because anything you're doing. I'm just going to bless you because I love you. If God's looking at how he can bless you. And he's looking at all things in light of the truth, because walking in the truth brings that release of life. So concerning dark clouds, concerning the enemy wanting to attack or destroy, we need to be able to see it the way God does. Now, when Jesus woke up and there's that storm and the fishermen all think, we're going to die, Jesus. He looked at it and just spoke to it, because this was now a hindrance to them. And out of the love of God, he spoke to that storm and out of the truth. And he knew that truth right from this passage, that he would still the storm in a raging sea. He had that authority. He was 100% man and 100% God in the flesh. He had the authority to do that. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now, here's what I really wanted. Everything I said to this point setting the table up for what I'm about to say. The word joyful sound in the Hebrew doesn't mean, wow, that's a nice flute solo. Oh, that's not what it's talking about at all. But the word there is battle cry. A war cry, a battle cry. And when I looked that up, and I don't assume I know what anything means. When I come studying the scripture, I look everything up. If and but, we, they, them. I look them all up now, because it's so easy with a complete word study Bible on an iPad. Just go tap, 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 tap. Back in the old days, you have concordances and Bible dictionaries. You have to lay them all over the place and write down. Praise God, we're in the 21st century. But anyway, the joyful sound, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound, and it means the battle cry. The battle cry. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of his countenance, or his looking at that through the eyes of faith and love, through the eyes of truth, and moving forward in that. They shall walk or move in the light of that. Now, the joyful sound, again, is a battle cry. It's interesting, throughout history, armies have had battle cries. Yeah, you know, if you ever watch documentaries like the Japanese, Banzai, Banzai, and they'd come screaming, and you know, there'd be just this roar coming at our soldiers, and they're just mowing them down, shooting them down, just keep attacking. But for one, it was like a battle cries were a common yell where they are going to attack in unison. It unified them in what they were doing, but it also released somewhat of a courage. Ah, we're going to kill our enemy. It's a battle cry. And there's all these battle cries throughout history. I was reading up on some of this, saying like in the Civil War, the Confederates had some wild yells. And I didn't know that before that, but it seemed like I might have heard that before. Had like these screaming wild yells, and it would bring fear on the Union soldiers, because it would sound like there's, you know, 1,000 when there's 100. I mean, just screaming out, yelling. And these guys would come like in a savagery of courage. And you would have, and they say, what I was reading, what that came back from when they were fighting the Indians, American Indians, because that's what they would do and scare the settlers. So throughout history, and reading this, the Greeks had certain battle yells, Romans had certain battle yells, so they'd all be screaming as they're going in into battle. Now, we go back further, and when God called the nation of Israel out in Numbers chapter 10, he's giving them a lot of instructions. He told Moses to make two silver trumpets. And they had these certain things they would blow on these trumpets, like a certain sound to gather the people, a certain sound we're going to be moving, the clouds lifting, we're going to move. But then, I think it's at verse 9, there was a sound on the trumpet that meant we have an enemy coming, rise up to fight, rise up for war. So trumpets were used all the way back. And you can think then with Joshua, and going around the Jericho, and they marched around, and they were told to keep silent. But then the trumpets began to be blown, and they let out a scream, and the walls fall down. So again, throughout history, there's many, many examples like this. You have your battle scream. In fact, I was reading, "Oorah!" That was like a Marine battle scream. And I don't know when that started up. The Marines weren't even called Marines till World War II. Oorah! Oorah! And so you have these different battle yells. In our Revolutionary War, now my one granddaughter this year is in a fife and drum corps at her school. And, you know, we were talking about this. Oh, they used that, you know, to give signals as to where to go, where to turn, because they would have massive lines fighting back in those days. So the drums and the fife, and I don't know what signaled what, but I do know it was a communication type of thing to signal, like, okay, attack, or move right, move right, move left. It was signaling forth. So throughout history, this element is there. Now, what he says here, blessed are the people that know the battle cry of the Lord. Blessed are the people that can hear the battle cry. Because if there is a battle and you don't respond and rise to fight, you're going to be destroyed. You know, part of with warfare is knowing when an enemy is coming. And part of the strategies in warfare is to catch someone by surprise, and you can easily overtake them. It's like when Pearl Harbor was attacked, it was completely by surprise, and they caused great, great damage. So you have an element where there's a battle cry, there's a trumpet, there's a sound, rise up and fight. Blessed are the people that can hear the battle cry of the Lord. Now, I want to submit to you, a couple months ago, the Lord gave this to me, the Spirit of God has given a battle cry to all of us. I mean, I give that to whoever I'm speaking to. It's a battle cry from the Lord. And in that battle cry, we fight not with carnal weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We fight through intercessory prayer. We take up the sword of the Spirit, praying for others, praying for the saints, praying for all men, as 1 Timothy 2:1 would say, as we know what we're to do. You need to pray for people, releasing the ministry of the Holy Ghost. There are times there's battle cry. And call it whatever you want, prophetic, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. Nonetheless, battle cry from the Lord. But the key thing is, can we hear it? Now, I want to share something with you. It came to my mind when I was meditating on this. In 1990, I had a vision. I mean, it was a living color vision, okay? And it was very impacting. Because in this vision, there was a worship service. We were meeting at that time down in East Philadelphia Street. In that room, many of you would have been in there at one point or another. And we were there. It was at the end of a service. And I'm looking, and I'm pointing up like this, rebuking a spirit of division. And I was calling for people to join with me, because there was, in spirit, there was an attack coming to try to bring division. This is 1990. And I saw a room that felt like about 20 people, and people praying with me. And with everything I did, they were in sync with me. If I laid on the floor, they were on the floor. If I stood up, they stood up. In other words, that was signifying unity, spirit. And there was one individual in particular I saw in the prayer room. There were others, one or two I saw in there. And there was someone like coming back into the worship room. As I'm standing rebuking this, it was like taking all the strength that I had, sort of like Moses with holding up his staff, his rod, when they were fighting a battle there in Exodus 17. And as long as he held it up, they won. But when he got weary, his hands went down, they began to lose. And there was an individual who had his arms under my arms, holding me up as I'm pointing to this, rebuking it. And I was calling the people to join into this warfare. And then I saw there was an individual standing like this, sort of looking critically at me. And then there was a couple people I saw just so caught up in what they were doing, serving, they couldn't hear. They couldn't hear the call to prayer now. See, the service was over. Okay, people are going to do whatever they do when the service is over. So there's a couple men that I saw, and they were like so busy caught up in what they were doing, they couldn't hear it. Then I saw someone else, and they were going to get cake. I mean, the service is over, I get piece of cake. Pleasure, feed your flesh. That's what all that represented. And afterwards, I mean, it was one of those, like, so strong by half scary. And afterwards, like, Lord, what is this? What is this? Well, as it turned out, the critical one, the one so busy doing his own thing, the one wanting the cake, they're all gone 10 years later. Just like I saw it. And the ones standing with me are still standing with me today. 34 years later. But God showed me specific people, and I told it, and I didn't say any names, and people come up and say, was I in that vision? It sort of reminded me like when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, and they're saying, was it me? Is it me? Yeah, they're asking Jesus that. But I didn't repeat, I didn't say who I saw or whatever. I just, one of those, keep between you and the Lord. And it all happened, just like he showed me. Now, sometimes you can pray and stop some things, and sometimes things are going to happen the way he showed you. You need to be ready for it. But one of the things I saw in that was in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talked about a certain spirit sent to buffet him because of the abundance of revelation and the visions that he had and a revelation knowledge of the word. Satan wanted to try to stop that and steal that. Now, in his case, everywhere he went, Satan would stir up people to bring the people back under Jewish law. Was always an issue for him. And he said he asked the Lord to take it away. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient. You see, our human mind, many times we just want something to go away. I don't want to have to deal with this. I shouldn't have to deal with this. Well, scripturally, that's not a reality. There are some things you can drive forth from you, and some things is a work the enemy is going to continue to try to create a hindrance. Now, this wasn't a hindrance for me personally. This to bring division is to separate people from the hearing of the word. Because the hearing of the word is bearing fruit. So if the devil can't destroy me, he's going to try to separate people from me. Now, one of his best avenues is to get in the ear of a leader and how, you know, and enter in that critical spirit. He can do a lot of damage with that one pretty quick. But if that's not working, he'll just try to cause agitation among the people. Agitated. And get people to get offended with each other. Where they say, well, I'm not going back there. You know, they're offended. So whatever, but nonetheless, I'm aware. See, I'm aware of this, that that's a work of the enemy to try to hinder or buffet what I'm called to do. Now, I'm not fear about it or anything. It's just it is what it is. Okay. So then, what happens as the enemy tries to do those things? Everyone else around me is being put to the test, and they don't even know it. Believe me, I'm watching. I'm listening. Because I want to know who's with me. You know, if you're, again, in war, you want to know that your buddy down the line is going to stay there and stop the enemy coming from that direction. Or as an expression, somebody's got your back. Well, that's only really known unless it's tested and proven. So I know that kind of test is going to come. I will observe it. And it could cause a limitation of the how much I can trust someone or release to them or what have you. Now, blessed are the people that know the battle cry, that can hear it, can hear the battle cry, the trumpet sounding. But you see, if we're too busy having our piece of cake, well, I don't have time for that. See, in the battle cry and the day and hour we're living in, there is a need for prayer, for intercession in a great way. We know what the Bible says about the end times, but we see it happening. Now, the good in all of that is to ripen up the harvest quicker. People in this world have no hope. And if they have fear losing safety, they're going to be panicky. Fear losing their money? Oh, panicky. Fear losing their health? Oh, panic. There's a certain guy I listen to radio now and then talks about people wearing face diapers. You know, a couple years ago, people, he's kind of... anyway... But you think about it, like the fear that was generated for people to do things that nobody does that. I mean, he goes, well, I'm walking around like that. But the enemy was working, and warnings came. And I gave a warning a year or so before that by the Spirit, the same way, that the spirit of fear is going to be released. Fear of unknown disease, fear of terrorism, and that's ramping up right now, and fear of economic loss. And really, there was a battle cry then. But I wonder how many in the body of Christ could hear the battle cry. Because 95% of them close their churches down at the commandment of a man over the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was so disappointed, so disheartened, I thought, my goodness, these people are bowing their knee. They shouldn't be going around thinking they're like Daniel, because they're not. Bow their knee like that. To me, it was a disgrace to the body of Christ worldwide. Because it wasn't just here, it was all over the world. Disgrace for the lack of courage. But I think how many even had the battle cry come out to them. But how many could hear it? And I know there were people that did, okay? I'm not saying there wasn't anyone. But in terms of the whole body of Christ, there's a lot of believers in our country. How many heard it? Or how many were just worried about losing their piece of cake? Or, you know, just do their own thing. Everything's going to be the way they're figuring it all out and planning it all out. Because there are times the Lord's saying, pray now. And see, that's what the concept of the battle cry. What was the old cavalry thing? I'm in charge, right? If you ever watched any old westerns, I think Saturdays they run those things still. But charge. You know, the cavalry comes in, charges, and saves the day. Well, that cavalry's us. And whether other people are or not, I can't be concerned. That's between them and God. I need to know I'm doing it. And I'll speak to us as a body for us to do it, for us to hear, to have ears to hear. Jesus at times said, he that has ears to hear, can we hear what he's saying? And it's especially important when it comes to this. We can't just go about life thinking we can plan everything out. If you do, you're unaware of a reality. There are things happening all around us all the time. We need to hear his voice and respond to him. We'll walk or we'll move, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness they'll be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and thy favor, our horn, shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. He is our defense. We do not need to fear the attack of the enemy. We need to charge and attack him. We need to go after him, casting down his lies, his vain imaginations, his intimidations, and all the rest, condemnations, casting it down. Now, I want to finish with another scripture, and that's in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm on his holy mountain. Remember that song? That's where it comes from. Blow the trumpet. Now, in the context of that prophetic ministry through Joel, God was warning them, the Assyrians are coming to destroy you. And he gives that forth, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm. Later on, it says, wake up the mighty men. Rise up. Sound the alarm. And the verses following that, blow the trumpet, he's actually describing not Israel, but the Assyrians. How fierce they were. They could run through a troop and jump over a wall, and he's different other sayings in there. He's describing them. But then it says at verse 11, but the Lord utters his voice. The Lord will utter his voice. A fire will go before him. The Lord utters his voice. The word of God is as a flaming sword, as a fiery sword against the enemy. We'll burn up all his works. You know, the Bible speaks of binding and loosing. The word loose means to dissolve, melt, or destroy. It's also translated into that word. It'll burn it up. It's like all you have is ash. Burn it up. And to bind, to tie together, you connect to God by faith. And you release that out and you burn up the works of your enemy. I mentioned this last week. Satan is one frustrated being. Because he'll work and work and work to build up some stronghold. And when the light of the word comes to you, you can speak and burn that thing down, consume it, destroy it with one stroke of the tongue. One stroke of the spoken word of God. All of his years of work get destroyed. Years of work to bring fear, to bring hatred, can be destroyed. And that needs to be our expectation as we look around the world. There's been many testimonies of people come out of like Hamas. There was a book, I forget his name now, a guy come out of Hamas. His father was one of the leading guys, and he ended up being witnessed to by a born-again Jew and seeing some real Christians. Anyway, the Lord broke through with all being raised in hatred. All the devil's work was just destroyed. You could have great fear in your life, like Gideon, and the Lord called him, you know, a mighty man of valor. God will speak who you are before you are. He makes us what he wants us to be. He calls things which be not as though they were. Well, it's very important we hear the battle cry and move in unison. You know, armies that didn't move in sync together were easily beaten. But back in the older times, they'd have their shields and spears and arrows and everything. But they'd form a wall with shields, an impenetrable wall with shields. And they would move like as a group, like a box. The enemy couldn't get in. See, the unity of spirit's very, very important. Because if we're outside of that realm, we lose our power. We're vulnerable to the enemy. But as two or three can gather and agree in him on his word, not your opinion, his word, we agree with him. We don't try to agree with each other, agree with him. He'll get us to agree with each other, but we agree with him. There can be the release of the power of God. So I just want to leave this, present this. Can I hear a call of prayer? Am I too busy? Am I critical? Am I seeking pleasure? Because there can be times your life depends or somebody else's life depends on it. Can you hear that? I know it early on in pastoring, there'd be times people would call and there's a crisis. A now crisis. And, you know, when we come over to pray and you didn't have time to fast and pray, whatever else, like, there's a call to prayer, an urgency now. You get on your horse and you go into the battle. And something that I really realize is I have to live ready all the time. It's not a matter of, well, okay, I'll do all these things and maybe I can pray. But always be ready because you never know when the need is. You could be driving down the road to be an accident right in front of you. Someone's life could depend on it. You're ready right now. Prayer of faith. But see, if we're not listening, we're not paying attention, we'll miss things like that. And I believe as a people, we understand the enemy will do what he can to separate people, to undermine, to destroy, sedition and all the rest. It's very important as a people, we can hear what he's saying, and to us as a nation and a body of Christ worldwide within our nation. And, well, anyway, the battle cry. Yes. Battle cry, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, help us to identify where we are, to whether we have ears to hear, or whether we don't. We thank you, Father, for just doing a work in us. You are raising up your army. You utter your voice before your army, Lord. We are your army. Lord, we shall tear down the strongholds of the enemy. Father, with our praises, with our prayer, we thank you for the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The Lord reigns. Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. For our God reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people rejoice. Let the people be glad. For our God reigns. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on his holy mountain. Blow in. Sound the alarm. Great is me that carries out his word. The Lord utters his voice. His army, the Lord utters his voice for his army. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on his holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we hear the trumpet blow. We thank you, Lord. Father, we set ourselves to take our place in the army of God, Lord, to use the weapons of our warfare, the sword of the Spirit, Lord, just bringing forth victory and destroying every work of the enemy. Father, continue to raise us up as intercessors in this house in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.